Broadcasting live from the Regis Business Center and office suites at Satellite Place in Duluth, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio. Gwinnett Business Radio spotlights and highlights companies in Gwinnett County and the people who lead them.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to Gwinnett Business Radio here on Business Radio X. I am merely one of the hosts, Mike Salmon, alongside my award-winning counterparts, Stephen Julian. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Mike. I am also merely one of the co-hosts.
You know what? We have to be on our best behavior today. We got to bring our A game because we have a professional in the studio.
We do. We have, well, we have many professionals, but we have a professional media.
A professional announcer. I want to call him the legendary Bob Neal, but when you call anybody legendary, it's almost like they have one foot in the grave. And so we're not going to do that to Bob. But Bob is with us, Bob Neal with Bob Neal Media. Our other professionals, and thank you for correcting me, Stephen.
I live to correct you, Mike.
The other professionals in the studio are Don Meng from Signorama Duluth, Stephanie Christopoulos, all right, from Organized Chick, and Terry Richards from Certified Home Care of Georgia. I got Christopoulos, but I couldn't say certified. We're off to a rolling start here.
Very professional, Mike.
Yes. Speaking of professionals, we are joined by Bob Neal. Bob Neal Media. Now, if you're a sports fan, everybody knows Bob Neal. You've done football, basketball, baseball. You've done all the sports. But you're a business owner as well. Bob, tell us about what you're up to these days and what is Bob Neal Media?
Yeah, Bob Neal Media in a word. First of all, thanks for having me, Mike.
Absolutely.
I enjoy your work. I listen to you. First of all, I've heard this show before, but I've heard you on, of course, 92.9 The Game doing your sports.
My head just exploded.
That's true.
Thank you.
You do well. Bob Neal Media is really the umbrella company for all of my businesses. Even my 23 years of being the lead announcer for the NBA coverage on Turner Broadcasting, at Turner Sports, even then I was an independent businessman. So I decided to do that way back in the mid-70s as opposed to... With the rare exceptions, I found that it worked better with my variety of talents that I use to earn a living and make a career, that it worked better if I control the beginnings of it, the amount I worked and what areas I worked in. And one of the great lessons I learned from the mid-70s is when I got involved with Ted Turner as he started putting the superstation up on the satellite. Back in the beginning, cable is now almost passé, and at the time, cable, of course, was a radical new idea. And what I learned is that it was easier to work with Ted Turner independently than it was to be an employee of Ted Turner. And so I always stayed that way, and thus Bob Neal Media came into existence. And what I do now is I stay engaged in the broadcasting and the sportscasting business. I do a show that airs during the college foot and NFL season on Fox 5 here in Atlanta called Play to Win. And it's a panel show that's a preview and prediction show about college and NFL football, and that airs at 9 a.m. excuse me, during the football season. So that's how I stay engaged in the business and doing occasional talk shows and things of that nature. The secondary thing that I do to earn a living is I'm a voiceover announcer for commercial work. So they don't call it announcer anymore. They call it voice talent or voice actors. So let me change that. I'm now a voice actor, but I'm really a voice announcer. And the third thing I do is what I call my second act of my career is I've decided because of my experience and my knowledge and the places I've been and the things I've done, that it's time for me to share my experiences and my knowledge. And so I'm starting to teach. I've done some lecturing at the University of Georgia at Kennesaw State University, and I'm holding a seminar that's going to be nearby Gwinnett County. It's on Peachtree Industrial Boulevard called Peachtree Corners at a place called Yorak Studios on April 22nd, and it's an introduction to sportscasting. It'll be 2.5 hours to tell you everything you need to know about how sportscasting works in an overview sense. So it's designed for anybody as young as a high school student through people in their midlife who would like to try something or have been sports fans and think, you know, I could do that. And it's not just the people who are on camera or who show their face, but it's all the other parts of the job. Mm-hmm. As you well know, Mike, the associate producers, the researchers, the statisticians, the stage managers, there's all kinds of things that involve in sportscasting. So I'm doing that night, and it's in the evening from 6:30 till 9 p.m. on April 22nd at Yorak Studios, and it's yorak.tv. to register.
Okay, that was going to be my question, and we'll make sure we say that at the end of the interview as well. Where do people go to find out more information and to register? You talked about being in the business since the 70s with Turner and so forth. How has sportscasting changed over the years, especially today? Back when you started, it was radio and TV. That was pretty much it. Now there's so much social media. How has that changed the industry?
Completely changed it. As a matter of fact, there's good news and bad news. Excuse me. The good news is that there's work available everywhere. You can, and I tell young people this, you can write a blog anytime, any place, and get it up on the internet one way or another with very little effort.
You can do internet radio.
Internet radio, which is becoming a terrestrial radio, is sometimes becoming an afterthought in some cases, and not always, but in some cases. And I use my good friend Neil Bortz. We've been arguing with each other for 40 years politically. Neil has had a very well-known and popular national radio talk show that he started at WSB Radio here in Atlanta. Well, he left terrestrial, and by terrestrial I mean AM or FM radio, and even satellite radio. And what he's done now is he's gone to the internet, and he charges $2.99 a subscriber a month, $2.99 per month to subscribe, and he does his national show, and he has about 30,000 subscribers. So added up to what kind of business is available if you have the name and the content that people want to listen to.
Well, not just national, Bob, but international when you're online.
Worldwide, absolutely. And that's how sportscasting has changed also. I, for instance, because I'm a sports junkie, I go to websites every single morning when I get up and follow them through the day. I also follow all the people that I want to on Twitter, so that I usually get my sports news as in addition to regular news from Twitter. The first time I hear a story is because I follow Twitter. So I'm on Twitter. I don't publish much on Twitter. I listen to Twitter. I use it for research for me. And I think increasingly I'll probably start publishing things on Twitter also. But I tell young people and people who want to change their jobs and get into the sportscasting business that it has completely changed, and there are so many ways to get involved in it. And that's one of the subjects of the seminar that I'm doing on April 22nd, is to tell people it's not just knock on the door of WSB TV or Turner Broadcasting or NBC anymore, or 92.9 The Game, where the air is very thin and the talent levels are rare, and it's hard to get in the door unless you've had a lot of experience and such. But there's all kinds of ways, including audio and video blogging, and I'll talk about that at the seminar, because that is today's world.
Yeah. And Bob, let me kind of take it back to the business side of things, as you've been a business owner, as you said, since the beginning. And you said that was a great decision for you. I'm assuming that's also a good decision for someone who's starting out. They need to kind of stay independent. Is that what you would?
Well, there's two ways to go, obviously. But the easier way, and when I say easier, I don't mean that it's, I'll call it the path of least resistance. Nothing's easy because, again, in my business, and I think in everybody else's business, it's about content. Your business works if you have good content, if you have good products, good services. Well, in sportscasting, if you want to be good at it, the content is the key. So the first thing I tell anybody getting into the business is you have to immerse yourself in sports so you really do know about it, not just a fan of your team, but immerse yourself in it. And the other thing is if you start with blogs, and I let me use a short example. Pardon me. There's a young man named Vinny Hardy who lives in Knoxville, Tennessee. And I was fortunate enough to be awarded a Lindsey Nelson Award by the College Football Foundation in 2012. And it was up in Knoxville. And it was a wonderful time. But this young guy comes up to me and he says, and when I say young, he's probably 25. And to me, that's childlike. Came at me and he says, excuse me, Mr. Neil. I said, please call me Bob. And he says, my name's Vinny Hardy and I want to get in the business, but he works in a manufacturing company in Morristown, Tennessee. He says, but I want to kind of get in the business. Could you give me any tips? And I said, well, I don't have time to give you real good tips right now, but I would say this, learn about content, make sure you know what you're talking about. And then I said to him briefly, I says, there are ways that you can blog and do things. So the long and short of the story is Vinny immediately contacted the Bleacher Report, which is a website run by Turner Sports now, contacted the Bleacher Report, and they at that time, and I think they still do, they took volunteer blogs. You could send it in to them. I don't think they paid you at first, but you could send it in and get your blog. So he wrote a blog about me. and put it on Bleacher Report. And, of course, I'm scanning through Bleacher Report a few days later, and there's a blog about me. Vinny has turned that into a radio show that he does out of Morristown, Tennessee, and he's turned it into an internet show that he does on a week, and I was just on his show. So in 2012, a young man who had not anything to do with the business came up, and the only tip I gave him was to start something. And he started something by writing a blog about me. So, yes, that's independent. And then eventually a lot of people will get jobs with larger companies, but they could be me and be subcontractors the rest of their career. And I've really loved that because I like to do a lot of different things.
Well, and I think, and I don't want to get too deeply philosophical, but I think it's quite interesting because you mentioned Neil Bortz, and I think you're a prime example of this. You two and others built your career on terrestrial radio, on TV, building your brand and building your name on what we all know is the media that's been around for a long time. Mm-hmm. And then as the new media has grown, you've taken your name to that and you've already been established.
That's correct.
And yet by the same token, there's a bunch of new people. There's a bunch of people who don't have an established brand, but they are using that new media to move up into the rarefied air of the terrestrial radio and stuff like that. So there's this crisscrossing.
Very well said. And that's precisely, I'll steal that. I'll use that at the seminar.
I will let you do that. And you can just say some guy on internet radio.
If I'm really fair, I'll quote you. So I promise to try to remember to do that. But yes, that's true. You can start with no name and build through content. And through your efforts. And this, you know, this is true in every endeavor of life. And now at my age, I can say this as an older, wiser person. It's true with everything. Is you have to, first of all, provide good content. If you're a student in third grade, you got to have good content. You know, that's your homework.
Not necessarily, Bob, the voice. Because I have a lot of folks that say, well, I don't sound good. It's not your voice. If you know what you're talking about and you're intelligent and you know your stuff, it doesn't matter what you sound like, because there are a lot of great announcers out there that are making a lot of money that do not have good voices.
That's absolutely true. Once again, that goes back to content also. Right. It's about what you say, not how you say it. And I could name names. My great friend, the late Skip Carey, had an awful voice. You know, well, I mean, it was almost everybody can do a Skip Carey impression, but it's a bad one. Dick Vitale is a great example. I'm just talking about sports alone. So, yes, it's nice to have a good voice because there's an appeal to that, too. But it has very little. The other thing I tell people in voiceover work is you really want to be a voice actor. And the voice is only as good as you make it and the character you're playing. It's not about sounding like an announcer.
And I think also content, and this I'll get to a point, so give me 60 seconds here, but I think content also depends on, you know, Mike said, if you know a lot of stuff. So if you're bringing a lot of good content as far as information, but as I listen to Mike when he does sports talk radio and as we do it in here, Mike brings great questions. So it content can be information, content can be questions. And I think also it comes back to knowing who you are. When I, you know, my memories of you, very brief memories, because you're not, you know, you're legendary in a short amount of time.
Well said.
You're more of a storyteller.
I am.
And Skip was more, Skip brought a little bit of a comedic, impact.
He did.
So you got to know who you are.
Comedic. You got to know who you are and be authentic to who you are. And the authenticity will carry you through your career. And I think that's true whether it's in broadcasting or not. But if you're on the air, whether it's internet radio or television or network television, authenticity really matters. Now, we all see people on television sportscasts. Varied from Turner Broadcasting to local to national. We all see people who go, they're terrible, because people love to judge and critique sports and sportscasters. So you have to have a thick skin. And if you're good enough and your content is good enough and you persevere enough and do a good enough job and have a talent, there is, like everything, has an aptitude for it. If you're good enough, you can get by the critics. You can get by the negative naysayers and keep plugging and keep doing and keep working at it, and you'll make it if you've got that content. So that's what I talk about very much in the class that I do, is here are the varying ways that you can get a job in media, and broadcasting is, we're going to have to find another word, because broadcasting, now it's narrowcasting. I mean, that's one thing to change it to, and one of the words that I use every now and then is, because broadcasting, I think in today's world should be terrestrial and network over the air, watching on your TV. However, as I mean, ESPN is realizing this. They just redesigned their website yesterday. The ESPN.com website is redesigned with the priority being mobile content delivery. So they already have said, look, people aren't doing this at their desktop computer. They're doing this on their smartphone, whether and whatever your age. And I would say this, my being a senior citizen, I'll say this to all the others. You do have to get next to today's media. You've got to understand, and it's real simple because I can understand it, but you've got to understand Twitter and Facebook and all the others that are there. I could name all the varying ways that you could learn about it, but you need to understand it and use it for your business. And Twitter is right now a great way to promote your business, and it's free and it's easy, and all you have to do is learn a few things about it. So if you want to be a sportscaster, Twitter is a great way to start. I know people who have built a somewhat of a brand on Twitter alone by tweeting, and you can learn how to develop followers because that's how Twitter works. You have to get people to follow you. If you don't have that, you don't have an audience. But there are ways to build that. And people who do nothing but tweet sports information, and I follow them, and now all of a sudden I know who they are.
We could do an entire show just on Twitter and so forth. Now you have the athletes themselves breaking news about themselves, and we could go on and on. But unfortunately, because of time, we've got to move on. But we could talk forever with you, Bob. We're talking with sportscaster Bob Neal. Before we let you go, I'm going to let you give that website one more time and so forth. But I do have to ask you this.
Yes.
Because you came up with Turner.
Mm-hmm.
Steven down there at the end of the table is a huge professional wrestling fan. I know Turner was in the wrestling business. Please tell me you never did any professional wrestling.
I have a short story to tell you about it, though. I did not.
The storyteller. Go for it.
Back in the early days of Turner Broadcasting, when they were located at 1018 West Peachtree Street, and it was just Channel 17, at the time it was even WTCG for Turner Communications Group before it became WTBS, and I got involved with Ted in the mid-60s independently again, and we were like friends, and we're walking down the hall one day, and I was doing freelance stuff there, not much, at Channel 17, and he goes, Neil, come here. He says, listen, this guy in Tampa is costing me too much money. His name was Gordon Soley, an old-time wrestling announcer who made a fortune, by the way. He's the late Gordon Soley now. He says, this guy's, I caught him drinking the other day, and like a lot of sportscasters don't do that, but he says, I want you to be the wrestling announcer. And I said, Ted, I can't do that. It'd ruin my reputation. He says, you'll make $1 million. I said, no, I did not make the $1 million. But the wrestling announcer business is another way to be in sports. It's entertainment. So, no, I've never been a wrestling announcer, but I've been around it. I've been around it in the old days at Channel 17. The wrestlers would dress in the lobby. When you walked in the front door off West Peachtree Street, there are wrestlers putting on their tights and rehearsing what they were going to do. And they would often do the interview about some guy breaking the other guy's back. They'd do the interview first. Then they'd go on the set and on the stage and do the breaking of the back. And it was fascinating work. No, I never got to do it, but I was offered a job. And I said no, lost millions.
Not only was he offered a job, he was offered Gordon Soley's job. That's a great story.
Gordon kept the job for many, many more years and was a
legendary. He was legendary.
Yeah, he was a great wrestling announcer, part of the show.
All right, Bob, we appreciate so much you sharing that story. Again, for the seminar, give us the dates, the time, where people can register.
It's real simple. It's called Introduction to Sportscasting, April 22nd from 6:30 till 9 p.m. at Your Act Studios in Peachtree Corners. Go to youract.tv, youract.tv.
Great. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you. I really enjoyed being here.
All right. Well, come back.
I'm gonna keep listening.
The door is always open. All right. Joining us now on Gwinnett Business Radio from Cinerama in Duluth, it's the owner, Don Meng. Good morning, Don.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good. Any wrestling stories you want to share?
No, but I will date myself and say I enjoyed seeing Bob many years on Channel 17 as watching the Braves. So,
some great days. Thank you.
It is wonderful to see you here.
Don, you are the owner of Cinerama Duluth. Tell us all about your company and what you do.
Well, Mike, we're in the visual communications business. We've been in business for 16 years. We're a full-service design, production, installation shop. We do everything from digital printing, car wraps, to billboards. We've been in the Atlanta area, as I said, for 16 years. It's been a wonderful time to grow, and we've had been involved in so many incredible projects, such as putting 10-story billboards and banners up downtown, to doing car wraps for the Gwinnett Braves. In fact, we did a lot of work at the Gwinnett Braves Stadium, and a lot for the local Gladiators. So it's really kind of a, we try to stay community-based. We do we give a lot back to the community. And we've just had a wonderful blessing. It's a fun business to be in.
Don, how important is visual communication for a small business owner? I'm just going to open the floor and let you rant, rave, and cast some vision.
Well, obviously, you know, it's everything. And it's an interesting, it's a gratifying business from the standpoint that when we get involved, normally people come to us with a napkin. And that's, they've got a vision on that napkin, and we take that napkin, and through our design team, we develop a concept. And then we determine, after working with local municipalities, which is becoming more and more of a challenge, permitting and such, then we decide, okay, what kind of signage can we create to create this vision? And then we manufacture it, we install it. And the most wonderful thing is when that owner walks out and looks at that sign for the first time, that's their business. I mean, it's really a gratifying business to be in.
Is all the production done in-house? You mentioned the big signs and the car wraps. Is that all done in-house?
Yeah, we are. Signorama is a franchise, but each franchise is independently owned. And early on, we determined that the best way we could serve our customers was to bring as much as we could in-house. So we have in-house, we have CNC routers. We run 3 digital printers, full-size 60-inch latex printers. So we'll do everything in-house, from car wraps to our larger signs, and we have a full installation team, which installs, you know, we have an installation truck, a 50-foot lift, and several other lifts that we use.
And, you know, I didn't know if you were aware of this. There are other printing and sign companies out there.
What?
But, so let me let you differentiate yourself a little bit. All that stuff that you guys have brought in-house, how does that compare to a lot of some of the competitors out there? On average, typical sign shop that you go in, what do they have?
Well, the average sign shop has probably one printer. And essentially, they do mainly, you know, banners. They do a lot of stickers. You know, it's interesting. Like I said, we've been doing this 16 years, and I know we're one of the more successful signoramas, so we do a lot of the tours come through our store. And people will say, well, golly, are there any competitors? And I'm like, yeah, draw a circle around us, and I can show you 50 sign shops. But, you know, I don't care if somebody put one right next door to me. It doesn't matter. It's, we take care of our customers. We have built that relationship with our customers, and we just do an incredible job. We have a wonderful staff that we've been able to cultivate over the last 16 years.
So when it came to doing a 10-story banner, the competition was whittled down automatically, and then that carries down to, all the way down to, I just want to do a sign outside my yard for my graduate.
Yeah, absolutely, Stephen. That, and it's interesting, really, at the beginning, that's what kind of put us on the map, was we were the guys that didn't say no. You know, someone would come to us with a concept of, hey, we want to do this banner on the 40th floor down to the 30th floor. Can you do it? And we'd say, yeah. And
you're scaling the building yourself.
Yeah. Well, I would then come back to my staff and say, okay, guys, we got this job. Now how are we going to do it? And through, you know, just essentially, I'm kind of a frustrated engineer. So I get this, you know, through designing something that is going to take the wind load and working with local window washers so that my guys don't have to go up on that building, we were able to achieve things like this. You know, I tell people I have the best job in the world because I get to be MacGyver every day.
Well, what I love is you say, you know, you draw that ring around us and there's all these sign companies, but, you know, we're the best. And it's to go to, bring it on. Like a wrestling reference, since it'll be our theme of our show, since you're a big wrestling fan. He's like, was it Macho Man or that said, to be the best, you got to, or was it Ric Flair, to be the best, you got to beat the best, or to be the man?
To be the man, you have to beat the man.
See, it lets you do the wrestling references.
And you can be like The Rock and say, just bring it. So you can tell all your potential clients, just bring it, we can do it, right?
Absolutely. I think we'll make a sign.
One of the things, and we're talking with Don Meng with Signorama Duluth, you talk about the car wraps. That seems to be the huge thing these days. Talk more about how do you actually do that? It seems like that would be very difficult to do. I mean, you got to measure every square inch of that car. How does that work?
Well, it's gotten easier with the programs that we've gotten over the years. But at the beginning, it definitely was quite a challenge because you had to measure every contour. You had to position it. You had to design it. And then you had to essentially make it work. I mean, the materials have gotten better. Essentially, every car wrap is a printed vinyl with a laminate on it. And through technology now, we're able to pull up templates of different vehicles. But then again, we do get the odd project like the Zamboni at Gwinnett Arena for the Gladiators. They came to us and said, hey, we want to wrap the Zamboni. So we are the official wrappers of the Zamboni.
I was going to ask you, is there anything that you won't wrap?
We haven't found anything. Well, normally things like helmets and stuff like that, but just about anything can be wrapped. In fact, right now, a big project, or a lot of people are wrapping their computers because a wrap essentially protects anything. You know, when you wrap your car, 3-4 years from now, when you peel the wrap off, the finish underneath it is pristine. So we've had people come in, we've wrapped their cell phones, we've wrapped their computers, we've wrapped computer towers.
Never thought about that. Should wrap my house. We'll have to paint it.
Well, and the reason wraps were originally done on cars is it's mobile advertising. So you wouldn't think of that for the computer. You know, I'm walking around holding up my computer, but for protection, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Now, so I want you to know, when you first started talking about wraps and talking about, and Mike asked the question about how to do it, Mike was envisioning you with a tape measure, you know, flexible tape measure, you know, going across the hood and measuring that. Like, but let me ask this. Mobile vehicle wraps were, was a new thing just a few years ago. So let me ask this. In terms of visual communication, visual advertising, what are some of the new things that are coming out now? What are some of the things on the horizon that you're excited about?
Well, I mean, the technology has changed so dramatically. We've gone from, you know, when we started, everything was just vinyl, cut vinyl, and then we went to digital printing. Now we print things flatbed. So a project that would take you, you know, 4 hours to do, you can do in 45 minutes. We're seeing a lot right now as far as visual communications, we do a lot more with LEDs, you know, the boards. Channel letters are a great example. Every channel letter set up to 5 years ago was neon. And neon's
very... And when you say channel letter, you're talking about like electronic.
Right. Like a sign out in front of a building that would have like a McDonald's sign or a basic letter sign. Inside of that is neon. And that runs off of very high voltage transformers. Birds build their nests in them. I mean, it's a fire hazard. It used to scare me to death putting these things up. But, I mean, it was what we had to work with. Now, that same sign is made with low voltage LED. It literally takes about a third of the power consumption. And it's essentially a 12-volt transformer, so there is no fire hazard. I mean, it's a wonderful thing.
And so what excites you the most right now is that prices are coming down because the technology is always improving in everything that you do, and now it's open to more customers, whereas the small business owner who went, I'll just be happy to get some kind of little wooden sign up, can now start thinking about lighted signs, channel letters, things like that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right in that, Stephen. You know, budget, of course, always comes into play with any business. But
Wait. Business owners are concerned about budget?
No, only restaurants. But it's interesting. You know, when someone comes to us, a lot of times we can tell by the way they approach their signage whether or not they're really going to last in business. So, you know, I mean, not that we're all be-all, see-all, but you can tell a lot from a person about how they're going to promote their business and how they're going to essentially how their business becomes them.
And if they have a brick-and-mortar building, I mean, that's the first visual you're going to see is that sign.
Absolutely.
And you know what they say about first impressions. Don, for those business leaders that would like to find out more about Signorama Duluth, or they have some projects, and you're the man to handle the projects, where can they find out more information?
Oh, you can look at our website at signoramaduluth.com or contact us by landline at 770-495-0120.
Great. Don, thank you very much. Don Meng from Signorama Duluth. Our next guest here on Gwinnett Business Radio is the organized chick. Stephanie Christopoulos. Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
Your company is the Organized Chick. Don't tell me. You were one of those girls growing up that you were always sorting your sock drawer and making sure your closet was color coordinated. Is that you?
Absolutely. It really was. As a kid, I would be that your friend that would come over and like, let's play in your closet. And that was fun to me, and it's still fun to me.
They had probably other ideas when you would say that.
No, they didn't, and I didn't even think about that.
She meant the Barbie closet, all right? It was the Barbie Dreamhouse closet.
I meant color coordinating our clothes and playing with our shoes.
Did you have a lot of friends as a child?
I had a lot of cousins.
Okay. And this actually has become a career.
Yes.
How did this become? How do you transition from that to making a living doing that?
Well, I went online. I did some research, and I found that people get paid organizing. And I was like, wow, let me do this. And so I went to a meeting with an organization called NAPO, which is the National Association of Professional Organizers, and they have a chapter here in Atlanta. And I loved what they said about organizing and how it is a real profession. And so I went ahead and joined, and I started my business about 3 years ago.
How do you find business? How do you get business? Is it mostly word of mouth?
It is. It's mostly word of mouth. One person tells another person, and it just kind of starts from there. It's very... very cool.
What's the spectrum of the type of clients that you work with? Are we talking about mostly families who say, oh my goodness, our garage is a mess or our whole house is a mess? Or is it more on the professional side with business owners? Kind of talk about the spectrum of the different type of clients you work with.
It's a little bit of everything. I've worked with busy moms who just want to create a system for their kids and ideas on how to get their kids to participate. And one of the best things that I tell them is the thing I use at home for myself with my daughter, and she's 7 years old, is an egg timer. I tell them, put a timer out and, give them, start off with 10 minutes. And once they get the hang of it, start putting in timer's coming out if it's not ready. If your stuff isn't ready, things are going to start getting missing. So, working with different people and those are one of the things I do with mothers.
And in the different projects, is it sometimes that you come in and you actually organize the desk, or is it also... because what you just talked about is more consultation and, hey, here's a good idea of working with your kids to help mm-hmm. them get more organized. Does it run that spectrum as well? You'll actually come and clean up my desk?
Absolutely. I like to work one-on-one with my clients because I also organization is a transferable skill. So, I would be happy to come in, once a week, once a month, whatever that may be. But I also want you to learn how to be organized, and I also want you to, as a business owner, tell your staff, if I'm not in the office, my file is in the yellow folder, behind insurance, so it is a transferable skill. So I do want to be able to teach the skill to my clients.
Mike, I can't tell you how many times I've called in with my assistant and said, I have no idea where it is. So just start digging and you'll find it.
Maybe you two need to talk after the show. We felt enough pressure with today's show having to be on our A-game with a professional announcer, Bob Neal, in the studio. I'm glad the studio is not messy and disorganized, because
she hasn't seen back there behind the printer,
and she will not. She's going to stay on that side of the room. But seriously, for business owners, mm-hmm. if you're not organized, it can cost you money, can it not?
It can absolutely cost you a lot of money. It can cost you money because if you're having trouble following up with a lead, because you lost their contact information, you have lost that lead. You've lost potential money. It definitely is very important to be organized.
Do you have any examples of maybe a client you worked with where your organization helped impacted their business?
I have. There have been times when I've come into an organization with a business and just came in and redid their filing system. They were spending, an hour every day
looking for things.
No, yes. It's 2 hours for me.
Well, I mean, 2 hours, but right. I mean, in a week, that's 14 hours a week.
Time is money.
Exactly. And so, you know, just recreating a filing system that made sense for them. When they thought about going back to insurance, so when they thought about insurance, they didn't think about insurance as far as like in one big bulk. They thought of insurance as car insurance, medical insurance, business insurance. So we had to create separate categories for them so that it made sense for them. And that's what Organized Chick does, is we talk to people and figure out what makes sense and create a system that accordingly.
Stephanie, sometimes we've had people in from different types of work, and one I remember, we talked to a professional painter, and he talked about you don't hire Chuck with a truck. It matters your certification. It matters that you're getting somebody who's professional, who's gotten some professional training. So talk a little bit about NAPO. Talk a little bit about what getting certified with them, becoming part of their organization, how that's helped you specifically with your business, having that certification. And then also, if you don't mind, kind of talk about, I'm a small business owner and I'm looking to hire somebody to help me organize. Why would it be good for me to look for somebody who's a member of NAPO like you, rather than just somebody who threw out a business card and said, yeah, I'm a pretty organized person?
Clarification. I am a part of NAPO, but I'm not certified as of yet. You have to have a lot of extensive one-on-one hours with them, and you have to have a lot of CEU credit and take like this really long test.
So it takes time.
It does. It does take a lot of time and preparation. It's a lot more intensive than you think, but I'm in the process of that. Being in the business for 3 years, typically people, takes them about 5 years to get certified. So, the advantage of hiring a professional organizer that is certified is now disorganization and hoarding is it's clinically diagnosed. So you can get technically a prescription for a professional organizer now. And that is, one of the biggest advantages of hiring a professional organizer.
I was going to ask you, is there a fine line between someone that needs to be organized and someone that's a hoarder, where you may say, listen, you're beyond where I can really help you?
Well, there are people that specifically help hoarding type situations. And that is something that I don't specialize in, just because I'm not comfortable in that, to be perfectly honest. I prefer having one-on-one interactions with business owners, and that's kind of where my passion lies right now.
How does a business owner know if they need a professional organizer? Because they may think, this is a mess, but I know where things are. Kind of like how Stephen
operates. People are in denial.
Yes. How do you get through to those folks and say, well, and show them the light that if they were more organized, production would increase?
Absolutely. Their production would increase, and they would be able to spend more time doing things that they enjoy to do. And, one of the things that I really try to do for my clients is create a balance in their life. I want you to be really successful in your business, but I also want you to have a life. I want you to, do the things that you enjoy doing. I want you to, give back to the community and, spend more time with your family, because, for me, family is really important.
Stephanie, does it start the initial consultation?
Mm-hmm.
Walk us a little bit through that. So I'm a person in denial. Apparently, Mike has scheduled this intervention for me today with you here.
Absolutely.
So good. She's admitted to it. I'm glad.
I tried to soften you up earlier with all the wrestling references.
Yes.
Now I understand why he's being nice to me. I call you and I say, well, I don't have a problem, but walk us through a little bit of the initial consultation. First of all, is there a cost? And secondly, what are you trying to accomplish when the first time you sit down with somebody?
Well, I wouldn't typically have someone say, for instance, if Mike was recommending you, I would actually need you to call me and say, look, I need your help, because that's the first step of organizations, realizing that, yes, I have a problem, because I can come to your, to your office and you're like, I don't have any problems. I don't know what you're talking about. And I will
funny.
Be no service
you,
to you.
You need to call her, because, she can't just call you and say, Mike says you're a slob.
So it's up to you to get through the denial, apparently. So they do call you and say, okay, I'm willing to talk.
Mm-hmm.
Is it more of a consultation on the first visit?
Yes. I typically like to talk to clients on the phone just to kind of get a better idea. Because if it's something that I'm not comfortable with, for instance, like the hoarding situation, situation, I have, you know, people that I can, you know, refer you to. And, you know, if it is something that I do think I could help you with, I like to do a one-on-one consultation. See your space. See if you're a visual person, if you're an auditory person, if you are, you know, and I say visual, like, are you an out-of-sight, out-of-mind type of person? Like, you know, I am. And I know what works for me, so it's my job to figure out what would work for you.
That's a good point, because everybody's different. Before we let you go and let you give all your contact information so people can find out more, can you throw us a little tip, maybe something, just a little advice on how someone could be a little bit more organized?
I would say make organizing fun. I think that's what I try to do, number one, with my clients. If you know, depending on where we're at, I always try to put some music on, you know, make it fun. One of my clients put on her boa while she was sorting through things, and it just made things fun, you know. It didn't seem like, oh, I'm going through this. And, you know, sometimes, you know, when you become disorganized because something has happened in your life, or, you know, and so you don't want to deal with your clutter or your, you know, your family's old stuff. So, you know, that's where, you know, I try to make it fun for clients, and, you know, I'm there to, you know, cheer you on and help you throughout the whole process.
Great. Stephanie Christopoulos with Organized Chick. She is the Organized Chick. Tell us your website, any other contact information you want to give for that person out there that may have been in denial, but now they've heard this conversation and they're thinking, I need to give you a phone call.
Okay, you can check me out on my website. It's www.organizedchick.com, and you can reach me at 678-697-9609.
Stephanie, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. All right, next up here on Gwinnett Business Radio, from Certified Home Care of Georgia, it's Terry Richards. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Mike. Stephen.
Good morning.
Tell me all about your company, Certified Home Care of Georgia. You're the operations manager. So what do you guys do?
Well, what we do is a in-home care for the sick and for the elderly, non-medical, of course. We come into your home. We send CNAs into your home to take care of you while you're recuperating, or if your loved one needs some special taking care of, we come in and we bathe them. We help do light housekeeping and things of this nature.
I would think that we've talked about the generations and the population getting older, that there's more and more older people out there, and they're living longer because of medical technology, that this, I would think, would be a growing industry that you're in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We take care of a lot of the elderly people, and they are living a lot longer this day and time. We have patients in their 90s that we take care of, and we're just taking them to do errands. We're not foresee living with them. We go in for 4 hours a day and take them grocery shopping or to the doctor.
Terry, I was going to ask you, you know, you started by saying non-medical and then you said CNA.
Mm-hmm.
This is a topic that I think very quickly people who are not in it get a little confused, okay. Get a little, you know, wait, what are the different levels and all that kind of stuff? And you're saying, you know, not live in and take them out. So what is a CNA? You know, non-medical, can you give a good description of the spectrum of that? And then what the next steps are that maybe you guys don't do, but you can refer to?
Absolutely. A CNA is a certified nurse's aide. And they go to school and they become certified. And all of mine are certified through the state of Georgia.
Are they allowed to give medications?
They are not allowed to give medications. They are allowed to hand them the medication. Okay. But the client has to be able to take the medication themselves. We can't inject them or anything of this nature.
And are they helping with the organization of it, putting them in the pill boxes, that kind of stuff?
They can help with the organization of it, absolutely. What we do is we help with all the day-to-day living, things that they cannot do for themselves. The certified nurse's aide goes into their home and does it for them.
So in my day job, I do financial work and I do long-term care insurance, and long-term care is the activities of daily living. So a CNA really helps with some of the activities of daily living, cleaning, cooking, that, and transporting, different things like that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They, you know, change the bed linens for them, do their laundry for them, walk with them, read to them, take them to the doctor, whatever they do on a day-to-day basis. We come in and customize the care for their needs. We do not come into your home and change anything. We try to customize it to take care of you.
And as far as the certified part, the CNA, you know, Mike talked about it being a growing industry. there's a few companies that kind of do what you guys do. Are there companies that are out there that are not certified in the services that they're offering?
There are companies out there that are not certified, and there's also franchises. And understand, we are not a franchise business. We are an independent business, and so we give you a little bit more of the personalized care that you need, more so than what a franchise would do. We offer you to be able to interview your CNAs, your certified nurse's aide. We'll send three out and let you interview and pick the one that best fits your needs. Where with a franchise, they're just going to send you the one that's next up in line to go to work.
Talking about, you know, sick folks and elderly folks, I mean, there's a big responsibility here for the caregivers. How do you screen the caregivers that you employ?
Well, what we do is we put them through a rigorous screening, absolutely. We do background checks on them. We make sure that they are certified with a CPA, and we also do TB testing. And we have meetings once a month for all of our CNAs to come in, and we do constant training with them to make sure that we're keeping them up to date with all the laws and the regulations that go on through being certified.
Are there, and we're talking with Terry Richards with Certified Home Care of Georgia, are there flexible schedules, like they can come, I only want someone to come see my dad every other day or every evening? Is there flexibility as far as the schedule?
Absolutely, Mike. We customize the care to your needs. If you only need us for 4 hours, we do have a minimum of 4 hours, but if you only need us one day a week, 2 days a week, 5 days a week, 4 hours, we'll come in one day a week for 4 hours. Whatever you need, we customize it to your needs.
Let me ask you a tricky question, because you and Stephen were talking about, you know, cleaning up the house a little bit and things like that. How do you make sure someone's not taking advantage of your service and your caregivers by saying, well, we want them to come in every Wednesday or whatever, and then they have them basically cleaning the house for them, and all of a sudden you become a house cleaner or you become an organizer, kind of like Stephanie? How do you avoid that?
There's really no true way to avoid that. We have had that happen more than once. They've actually asked the girls to get down on the floor and scrub the floors. I go into the home, and I'm the one that does the initial assessment at no charge. And I explain to the client that we are not maids. We don't come in and clean your home. You have to have a medical need for us to come into your home.
So you talked about the initial assessment. So that was going to be my next question. I'm someone who's either looking for it myself or looking for it for a parent. Mm-hmm. Walk through that process. Where does it start? How long does it normally take? And also, you've been on the other side of that. Give some tips to somebody who's dealing with that in their own family of what you've seen and what they should be looking for.
Absolutely. To start the process, just give me a call, number one, and I will be more than happy to come to your home free of no charge and go through everything with you and set up a plan of care for you, because everyone is different. Everyone wants something different. Like we were talking about earlier, Mike, you know, 4 hours a day or whatever. I come into your home, I sit down, and I assess the situation. I go over your care plan. We talk about what your needs are. And then we match up a certified nurse's aide with you that we feel would be compatible. As my partner says, it's like we're a dating service. We're matching people up that best fit their needs.
And let me ask this as well. Once that initial plan is set up, either with you or they've set up a plan with some other company, how often should somebody be reviewing the plan? How often should we be kind of revisiting and saying, do we need more? Do we, you know, are things to a point where maybe we don't need as much? How often should somebody be reviewing their plan?
Actually, we review their plan about every 2 weeks. I give them a call, and I'll actually come by their house if I'm in the area. I'll give them a call and ask them, hey, is it okay if I stop by and see you? I'm very personal with my clients. I try to take very good care of them. They're like a part of my family. I bring them into my family, and they love that. They love the fact that I call them or I have my office call them and make sure everything is going well and that I come by just to sit and say, hi, how are you today? What's going on?
I've got to imagine that's a little bit of a differentiator between you and
huge.
Some of your worthy competition. Do you
huge.
Have any statistics on what the normal average let's review your plan is?
They normally get the case and then they forget all about them unless they're not making a payment.
Just play that on a loop on your website over and over. Absolutely. That's a huge differentiator. Even if it's once a month, that would be tremendous.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I have my office call them every 2 weeks. I actually, once the CNA is assigned to the customer and there's a time that the CNA is going in, I actually give them 30 minutes from the time that they're due and call and make sure everything is good, everything is going well.
Mike, Terry needs to have that put on a sign in channel letters with low energy LED lighting behind it. If we only knew somebody that could help her with that.
Hey, I think Sonorama can.
Sonorama Duluth. There you go.
And if we only had a voiceover actor who could maybe put that on a nice loop, you know, that would be good.
How about this? I'd be glad to read this for you. This is for you. We're the guys who don't say no. I love that line that you used earlier.
Are you going to steal that for your seminar as well?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
It's all about stealing. Some people call it research. Some people call it stealing.
A good broadcaster is a thief. There we go.
Again, Terry Richards is with us. She's the operations manager for Certified Home Care of Georgia for those out there listening. And I assume that they could be, you know, obviously people can listen to this show anywhere in the country. If they're not in the Atlanta area, I assume you may have clients that are not local, but their mom or their dad, their elderly relative is in this area, they can hire you out. That they themselves don't have to be here, but as long as the person you're caring for is local, you could serve that person.
Absolutely. And I do have people that call me from all over different places and said their parents are here and they need someone to come in and care for them. And I'll go to the home and meet the client, and if there's anyone close, I ask for them to come too, because a lot of times the clients don't know what exactly they're looking for.
So it's not just home care, it's peace of mind that you offer.
Yeah, it's a lot of peace of mind for a lot of people.
And a lot of times when you're checking up on the clients, it's not just the client you're checking up on, you're also checking up with the family.
Exactly, and I'm checking up on my CNA as well.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, give us the information, the websites, anything where people can reach out and find out more about your company.
Absolutely. You can reach me at 770-635-8042 or check us out on our website at certifiedhomecareofgeorgia.com.
Great. Thank you very much, Terry.
Thanks for having me. I've enjoyed it.
Terry Richards with Certified Home Care of Georgia. We had a whole range of different businesses today. Our thanks also to Stephanie Christopoulos with Organized Chick, Don Meng with Sonorama Duluth, and Mr. Bob Neal from Bob Neal Media. Quick reminder that you can enjoy this program or any of our other Gwinnett Business Radio programs anytime, day or night, 24/7 by visiting GwinnettBusinessRadio.com. You can also download any of these shows on iTunes. Also, be sure to follow us on Twitter. It's at Gwinnett Radio X. You can like us on Facebook at Gwinnett Radio X. And for our producer, Stephen Trey Odom, and for you, Stephen Julian, any parting words?
You know, this is a long way to go, but in honor of you bringing up wrestling and in honor of my three boys loving it, and this was the week of WrestleMania, I can tie them all together. So Terry works with CNAs, so that would be in honor of John Cena. Stephanie talked about a woman cleaning in a boa. Hulk Hogan, I'm imagining Hulk Hogan cleaning his house wearing a boa. And then, of course, Don Meng should just bring it with his signs. And, of course, Bob Neal had the chance to replace Gordon Solie, but he still had a great career.
There you go. Well done, brother.
Amen.
For the entire gang, I'm Mike Salmon. We'll see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.